You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Well, I'm here to tell you God is faithful, and he's faithful to his promises. And my name is Uncle David, or David Ayala. Some only know me as Uncle David. And I have the privilege with Abe to lead the senior boys that are here in the front row. I appreciate you guys being there. I'm also Grace and Zoe's dad. They're pretty cool. And, you know, in case you're asking, okay, this is a tough topic, right, that we're going through, Unchartered. And, you know, I was thinking about, Claire asked me to do an opening over, you know, what kind of qualifies me to be up here. And, you know, I was just thinking about being in your seat, you know, let's say when I was in high school. And, you know, this is not a subject matter expert area that I would have gotten in line for or even dreamed to be picked for it or aspire to develop a topic like this when I turned 50 years old. You know, I would have said, yeah, right. You know, no way I would even want to even be a part of that. But, you know, even when I think about the divorce I walked through with my parents, my friends still say today, no way, your parents got divorced? What? And, you know, and I think about the shame and sadness and embarrassment. It's all real when those things can take place. You know, I know for some years I didn't want to celebrate two birthdays. I just wanted to celebrate one. I didn't want to go over two places for Christmas or even for my girls. I was like, we're celebrating one birthday and it's at my house. I don't care who shows up or not, but I love you guys both. It's tough. And yeah, I never wanted to pick between two houses either. You know, so maybe for some of you that may resonate. And, you know, maybe even that where the part is, like, you're like, Mom and Dad, you guys got to figure this out. I want out of this conversation. And so even for my own story, 8 years ago is when I experienced separation in my own marriage. And now I've been divorced for 5 years. So the title of this message is, When Home Feels Unsteady, What Do You Rest In? Divorce is one of those words we don't like to say out loud in church. It feels heavy, it's awkward, it's like failure. And the issue is still there. When Christian families fight, it feels like something we're supposed to hide. But what if the things that we avoid talking about is the very thing that some of you carry alone? In this room today, there are students who come from homes that feel peaceful, it's calm and loving, and we celebrate that. And yet there's some students here that come tonight that there was tension last night. There was silence that felt heavier than shouting. Some of you have heard doors slam. Some of you have heard yelling through the walls. And yet the strangest thing in church is we sit next to each other and you don't even know what's going on for the next person that, like, what does that car ride look like for them when they go home tonight? Or they're expecting to go with one parent and the other parent has to show up to do the pickup. Divorce, fighting, separation, these topics carry shame, but the silence carries even more. And that creates a different kind of confusion. Because now it's just not, why are they fighting? It becomes, if my parents love God, why does our home feel like this? Is God even real? Does faith actually change anything in this? You know, we just saying that great is your faithfulness. Like, what, is anything showing up? I don't see anything faithful. Is Christianity true? If it was, why wouldn't it fix this? And maybe you never said out loud, but you felt it. And I know what that's like. When Christian parents fight, it can shake your faith, not just your peace. And I want you to hear something clearly. Your parents' struggle does not disprove God. It reveals that Christians are still human. When parents fight, here's what many of you may feel. Fear. Is my family going to fall apart? Confusion. Why is this happening? Or even anger. Why can't they just stop? Shame. What would people think if they knew? If they only knew what was really going on inside my house. Or even responsibility. Maybe if I was better, if I behaved better, none of this would happen. And yet sometimes what takes place is you start isolating. You go to your room, you put on your headphones, you start scrolling, you start numbing out in any way you can, and you tell yourself, I'm fine, everything's fine, it's okay. But here's the truth. Isolation is the worst thing you can do. Isolation doesn't heal pain, it feeds it. And if you're alone long enough, you start to believe the lies. Here's some of them. It's my fault. I shouldn't feel this way. God must not care. Or even if I spoke up, no one would understand. I want you to know that isolation deepens wounds, but connection brings healing. If your home feels chaotic, the enemy would love for you to withdraw. You'd even start acting out, because who's going to care? Who's going to notice? Or maybe you'll get that other attention. But healing begins when you tell one safe person the truth. When this happens, shame dies. And let me explain a little something about this that might help you understand what's happening. Parents rarely fight about what they say they're fighting about. It's not about the dishes. It's not about the tone. You said this or you did that, and that didn't happen. It's not about the schedules. Underneath most fighting is fear and insecurity. There's a researcher named Brené Brown who talks about shame. Shame doesn't say, I did something bad. Shame says, I am bad. It whispers, I must be failing. I'm not enough. I'm losing control. And when adults feel shame, your parents feel shame, we don't respond calmly. We defend, we get louder, we withdraw, we control. We want to feel better. And as a father, I had to confront this. I had to confront it in myself, what my deepest triggers were. It wasn't about being disrespected. They were about feeling incompetent. Something I teach the boys. Incompetent, like I was failing as a husband, father, or a human being. I was feeling insignificant. Write these down. These are important or not related. Incompetent. Insignificant. Like I didn't matter. I didn't do anything right. Like even if I showed up, it wouldn't even matter. Who cares if I failed? Or impotent, powerless. Like I couldn't fix what was breaking. I was powerless over potentially losing my girls. The idea of that made me shiver. And I was powerless over my heartache. And when those feelings get touched, I reacted. Not because I didn't love my family, but because shame was louder than security. So students, when your parents fight, you're often watching two wounded people react out of fear. Even when you see conflict out there, you can now hopefully get a picture of that and remember those three eyes. But the fear is not your fault. If they're feeling incompetent, that's not your fault. If they feel powerless and want to control everything, that's not your fault. And it's not your responsibility to manage it. Now, understanding this doesn't mean you go fix it. It means you stop blaming yourself. You're not the glue that holds the family together. And I know that was something I had a temptation with in my own family of origin. So let's talk about faith. If you ever thought, if Christianity worked, my house wouldn't feel like this, wouldn't be like this. I understand that thought. So one of the verses that really became alive to me in the last 8 years is John 16:33. If you ever came to my house, that's the Wi-Fi. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's a great picture, too, to talk about the storm. Because in the storm, that's where Jesus is at. And there's no promise you're not going to have trials or tribulation. But I kind of programmed myself, being in your chair growing up, doing all the right things, getting all the right grades, doing all the right stuff, like God's going to bless me. And then this happened, and I'm like, and I was even afraid to question God. And then one day, like, it hit me, like, I do have feelings. I am angry, and I got to have those conversations with God. Any yelling? Might have been cursing at times. It was tough. And so, like, those promises, you know, like Christianity is not a promise that Christians won't have struggle. It's a promise that God enters the struggle. He's there in that storm. Faith doesn't remove conflict. It gives us a place to stand when conflict exists. It gives us a place to stand when conflict exists. The Bible is not filled with perfect families. Just start reading it. It's filled with messy ones. Faith doesn't eliminate conflict. It gives us a path to repair. And sometimes your faith becomes most real, not because your family is peaceful, but because you learn to anchor when God isn't. Let me read that again. And sometimes your faith becomes most real, not because your home is peaceful, but because you learn to anchor in God when it isn't. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." He's not distant. He's near. He's not disgusted. He's near. Psalms 51:17 says, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." It's beautiful to think about the broken heart that God identifies there. He went through the suffering. He chose the suffering. He chose the cross for us. So God doesn't despise your questions. He wants it. He does not despise your confusion. He brings the clarity. He brings people into your life that are there that can speak truth into your life. Abe and Zach here are two of the guys that do that for me. He doesn't despise your hurt. He moves towards it. So if you're questioning, you're not disqualified. Welcome to the human race. You're human. You can pinch yourself, it's real. And it's okay. We want you to question. We want you to go deeper. Because in that, God is near. All right, I'm going to switch gears a little. Parents, I want to speak to you for a moment. And students, you get to listen in. All right, so keep quiet so the parents can listen. There's a question I had to learn to ask as a parent. I had to be able to ask my girls or even people I work with or my friends, how has my leadership affected you? Not responding with, why are you acting this way? Or, you know, why are you overreacting? Why are you doing that, Grace? You know, why are you doing that, Zoe? There's a part I had to ask, what does it mean and how have I affected you? And not even to get defensive, saying, well, that's not what I meant, and then try to walk things back. I had to say, how has my tone, my anger, my absence, my withdrawal affected you? I remember one time we were playing Foursquare, and Zoe's like, you were here, Dad, and then you weren't, even though you're playing Foursquare. And I had to own up to it. That question takes humility, and it requires listening without defending. There's a relationship teacher named Jason Gaddis who teaches that a real apology names the impact, not, I'm sorry you felt that way, or I said I was sorry, why don't you just like let it go? It's this idea about when I raise my voice, it probably made you feel unsafe. It probably made you feel like you couldn't trust me right now, or it hurt your feelings, and that makes sense, I'm sorry. Even in that situation when I got upset or I got cold, I made it about myself because I felt I was embarrassed and it had nothing to do about even that situation. It was something going on inside of me. Validation doesn't mean you agree with everything. It's apparent that's a hard part of, like, you hear the feelings, you do this, like, validating it is a whole nother story. It means you care about how your actions landed. Students don't need perfect parents. Your kids don't need perfect parents. They need repairing parents. And repair is more powerful than perfection. When parents say, I was wrong, I didn't handle that well, I made it about me, help me understand what that felt like for you. In that context, it restores safety and it restores credibility to faith. All right, students, let me tell you this again clearly. And when it comes to the conflict or divorce, you're not responsible, you're not the cause, and you're not alone. If your instincts have been to isolate, I want to challenge you. Talk to somebody safe. Talk to your life group leader, talk to a coach, talk to a counselor, a trusted adult, a trusted a friend. Silence grows shame. And I'm so glad for the community that we have here at church, for your life group leaders, the life group leaders that spoke life into my girls. Even today, I've talked to Abe, I've talked to Chris, the dad posse. Zach is in my men's group. These guys have surrounded me through the years, through the dark times, through the valleys. And out of that refusing to be silent, the shame dies. The truth breaks it. And God often brings healing through people. Write this one down. What is broken in relationship is healed in relationship. It's a quote from a book, How I Love, by Milan K. Yurkovich. Divorce is terrible and destructive in so many ways. And my journey through divorce brought shame. My own parents divorced when I was around 33. My mom left my dad on Easter. So that day has never been the same for me. When you come to church, I'd be like, he's risen, have fun, are you guys having ham? And you want some Easter stuff or bunny, whatever, and eggs? No. It's a hard day for me. It's a day of, like, mourn, and I'm better with it now, and thank God for the Percivals that invite me over all the time, and they've made Easter great, and then I get a second invite from the McGills. So that's been a healing journey for me. Again, because I reached out, they know what I go through during those times. They know what that day means to me. But I vowed that that would never happen in my marriage. But unfortunately, it ended that way for me. The fighting exposed parts of me I didn't want to see. But God began teaching me these things, that I wasn't trying to save the relationship. I was learning how to become secure in him. Secure enough to listen, secure enough to apologize, secure enough to sit with my daughters and ask, how has my leadership affected you? It didn't make everything instantly perfect. We had a broken relationship during those years, but it created repair. And repair is powerful. The demonstration of forgiveness, letting go of the resentments. Something I just realized as I prepared to share this journey with you all is I remember praying during my parents' divorce, and I'd seen many church people around them pretending like everything was fine and like, oh, is there something really happening? I just saw things crashing around me. I saw other couples divorce, friends that I had growing up, and then my marriage was struggling. But in going to therapy, I was given this book called The Cure, and the premise of it was, what if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? This idea of having masks on, and then you're not even relating to God because you're hiding behind your own stuff and not even being real with him. But can there be a place of grace in trusting God and others with yourself, where there's more value, that nothing is hidden, than anything get fixed? I was done playing church. I wanted better relationships around me. They were tough times. I wanted to be a better father and a friend. I wanted to take off the mask and start living out these truths. And it was there I prayed to be authentic and vulnerable. And it was like I had a ball of yarn and all these things on this pedestal of life, of everything, marriage, wealth, my career, my kids, and it was like, poof, off the platform. I would knock it down, but I have a precious Dr. Pepper right here. But it was like a ball. If it was a ball of yarn, it was like a cat just went poof, and it just, the yarn, my life just unraveled for like the next like 4 years. But I'll tell you this, through the suffering was where my prayers were ultimately answered. It wasn't answered in a way that I thought it would have been, but because in the trial and tribulation, I'm here today, knowing that God provided what I needed. He's healed my heart and my mind. He's given me strength to be the man that I'm called to be, Uncle Dave. When I share my story, it brings redemption to what was broken. It brings glory to something only God can do. And I learned to reach out. I learned to make phone calls. I learned to build a community. I learned to receive love. I've learned to give love. And now I'm surrounded by a network of men that speak truth into my life because I'm known. So here's where I want to land. All right, students, stay with me. I'm almost done here. This part matters for your future. Rest in who God says you are, not in the temperature of your home. If you put your faith in Jesus, he calls you righteous. You're his child. He even likes you. And he wants to hang out with you. God is steady even when your house is not. If your home feels unsteady, anchor your life in a God who is steady. He is near the brokenhearted. And a contrite heart he will not despise. So build your community. Practice reaching out now. How can you reach out? This is a response from all of you. What's the way to build some community? March and April is the time of an incentive that you saw up on the screen here a second ago called? Josiah? What's it called? Group Hangs. And maybe you guys didn't get the message. There's a group hang thing for getting points, right, for March and April. But it's a time to figure stuff out and build a community around you and have conversation and like, oh, wow, we can hang out and not talk about whatever. We can talk about real life and maybe go bowling or go get a burger at In-N-Out. Yeah, so group hangs, do you have an incentive for a community? My guys, I talk to them every week. Did you make any phone calls? Those are things that I want to make sure is being built. So, transition with that. If you have come from a broken home, there's still hope for you to do relationships. And it starts with a simple time of a group hang. It starts now. If you're a parent, ask questions. Listen fully and validate their experiences. Apologize specifically. Because your humility may do more for your child's faith than any sermons could. Even this one. Your kids will start their family in a different place than you. Build them up today. All right, so let's pray. Lord, for every student who feels confused or alone, we ask you to draw near to them. For every heart questioning you, meet them gently, Lord. For every person battling shame, remind them who they are in you. Break that isolation, convict them, restore connection, and teach us how to repair. And thank you, Lord, for my journey, for healing only what you could do. Thank you for surrounding me with this community of my brothers, like Chris, Abe, and Zach here, that have walked with me through the valley. Thank you for picking me today to share my testimony. May my words bring healing that only your Holy Spirit can do. There's no other place I would rather be than being here right now, sharing this experience of and the strength and hope that you've given me. So I'm honored to be picked, God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Can we thank Uncle David for sharing? so vulnerable and so helpful and really helping us have an intentional discussion tonight. So in just a moment, this is our text number. So if everyone could pull out your phones just for a minute, and we're going to have you text in any question you have about fighting at home, divorce, anything that was shared tonight or not shared tonight. Send in your questions. We're going to take the next little bit of time digging in to this topic with our Q&A panel. And so Uncle David is joined up here now by Gavin and Roxanne. And so while students are texting in questions, could you please share what life group you lead and a little bit about why you're up here and your experience with divorce and fighting at home?
Yes. My name is Gavin. I lead the junior boys. About a year and a half ago, my parents told me and my siblings that they were separating. So they are currently still going through divorce. It's very new, very fresh. There's still a lot that I'm learning and grieving and processing. But that's pretty much it.
Thanks, Gavin.
Hello, I am one of the sophomore leaders, and I experienced growing up with just constant fighting, unhealthy marriage, and all throughout my, you know, teens to high school, and my parents didn't actually get divorced until probably a couple years into Ben and I being married, so just kind of a lifelong thing of just going through that, so yeah.
Thank you both for sharing. I'm going to have Roxanne kick us off with our first question. We're getting a lot of great and vulnerable questions in from students, so Roxanne, could you share what advice would you give to a student who's sharing, "I feel so powerless when my family fights. How do I know what's in my control, and how can I help the situation?"
So first, when I was praying about this, I wrote down this psalm. It's very short, Psalm 27:10, and it says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Mm. And it sounds harsh when I first read it, but I say that to you guys because it's true. Like, your parents are human. They are going to disappoint you. And as a parent, I have also done that, you know. Disappointing my kids is just a reality, and it's unfortunate. But I think seeing your parents in the light of knowing that there's going to be disappointment and God is going to always be there for you is just the number one thing to hold on to, because He has to be the number one in your life for you to be able to hold any disappointment with them, and being able to center and ground yourself. Can you repeat the second part of the question? Sorry.
Yes. The student is asking, what is in my control and how can I help the situation if I can?
Yeah. I think what's in your control is just picking up the Bible and just praying and reading scripture every day and just asking God to enter into to your family space every single day. That's what's in your control. I think that nothing that you've done has anything to do with what your parents are going through. Unfortunately, they're just two broken people, and sometimes, like, they don't have the ability to see what they need to work on, and that's the hard part, is that, you know, as a child and a teenager, like, we're there, sitting there, and we're seeing all of this unhealthy behavior, and it doesn't feel right, but at that age, we also don't know what to do. So I just want to encourage you to know, like, it's nothing that you have done. There's also sometimes families continue, like, these processes of like seeing fights perpetuated from their past and like they carry it on into their marriage. And so if your family doesn't see that, then you know, there's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is just pray and just read the scripture and just continually ask God to open their eyes and just and shed light onto that situation.
Thank you, Roxanne. Prayer is so powerful. I'm going to throw this next question to Gavin. One of our HSM family members is asking, how do you forgive your family for shaking your childhood?
Yeah, I think, that's good. I think that is something that I struggled with for a long time. I feel like early on, I didn't really struggle with the question of like, why would God let this happen? I think it was very like, how could my parents let this happen? I felt very hurt by them and what they were putting me and my brother and sister through, and that was really hard. And I think I allowed myself to be angry about that for a long time. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, we should allow ourselves to feel all those emotions. But I think kind of going with what Roxanne was just sharing, I think the biggest lesson that I've learned through this is just how my parents are human. They're broken human beings. And once I kind of learned that and accepted that, it became a lot easier to start forgiving them. And sometimes, again, like I'm only roughly a year and a half into this, and so sometimes there's days where that still feels hard to do. But yeah, I think like I grew up, to give you guys just like a little bit of backstory, like my parents are the reason I'm a Christian. I have been in the church since I can even remember. I grew up, you know, singing every Bible song, going to Sunday school, and my parents both love Jesus, and they have my entire life. And so it was just so confusing for this to happen to me and my family. And I don't know what your guys's stories are. I know some of you might be a lot harder to forgive your parents because they may have hurt you in ways that are maybe more severe than the way that my parents have hurt me. But again, just realizing, I think like my whole life I had my parents on this pedestal of being perfect human beings because they both loved Jesus, and I think they parented me and my siblings very well and have always loved us. But this happened, and that kind of image of them like collapsed a little bit, and it was really, really hard, and it was hard to understand why they would make a decision to cause us pain. But just from talking to them more and hearing their stories, I learned just how, you know, they had kind of forgotten to love themselves well, and that had caused issues in their marriage. And so, yeah, I think just realizing that they are broken human beings allowed me to get to that place of forgiveness more, and even to a place where I really wanted to just pray for them and say, God, like, it doesn't even matter to me like what happens at this point with the marriage, if they stay together, if they don't. I just want them to be okay, and I just want them to love you, and I just want them to be okay. So
it's a brave prayer. Thank you. I'm gonna throw this next one to Roxanne before going to David. Roxanne, we have lots of students asking, what can I do as a bystander to the fighting between my siblings and parents?
The fighting to the siblings?
It sounds like there's fighting between siblings and parents. So what would you do as a bystander?
I have to go back to the prayer. Number one, just praying. We all react in different ways, and I think when I was growing up, my sister and I, you know, we went through the same thing. She's 4 years older than I am, and we definitely dealt with things in different ways. And I think just talking to your sibling, just in a non-judgmental way, just kind of trying to just see where they're coming from, like what their perspective is, because even though you guys are experiencing the same things, you process things very differently. And so I know that, you know, now looking back, my sister and I have really processed things a lot differently. You know, I was treated differently than my sister was treated because of age and whatever else that may have been. And so I think for her, in my experience, like she, I think, maybe felt more of it, like she saw more because she was older than me. So when my parents were fighting growing up, it was like she noticed more, she paid attention to more things, and she felt hurt by more things. She heard comments and things that were, you know, not kind. And so I think there was more hurt coming from her. And I was the baby, and I was just more, you know, positive, and I just kind of didn't care as much, honestly. I was able to just shrug it off a bit more. And so I think just coming to them from a humble place, from a loving place, and encouraging them to talk to a therapist, that's very important, I would say, especially because even if you see what your parents are doing is wrong, you're gonna carry that into your relationships as an adult. And like, God bless Ben, you guys, that he loves me and he's still married to me, because I have taken so much from that unhealthy marriage that my parents had, and I have put it into our marriage. And that's like the reality, you know? Like, I didn't know when I was getting married that I needed that. But like, when you're speaking that to your sibling, or your sibling speaking it to you, like, you guys have to validate that you're going through something, and that's like being ingrained in you. What you're seeing is being ingrained in you, and you have to be prayerful, and you have to seek help to make sure that, like, you know how to process that and move forward in a healthy way.
That's so good, so helpful. And just for time, we're actually going to end with this question. We'll have each of you answer and start with David and go this way. But a lot of our students, we're so proud of you and impressed. You're already thinking about the future. And so what is one quality or habit that students can start developing now that will help them in their future relationships? Lots of questions are about, how do I be different from my parents as I've experienced their fighting and divorce? So from each of you, 30 seconds or less, what's one quality or habit that students can start developing now for their future relationships?
All right, so I'll go first. So I tell this to the guys all the time, build a community. The idea of men building a community, so I'm talking to the boys, is you get to have real relationships now and repair and be real and take off the mask. Do that now. The idea of building a relationship in a safe community of other men is, like, you're not trying to date them, right? There's a whole difference when you are like, oh, she might like me, and you know, when you're friends and you start to become co-ed, and then you're trying to build trust and share your story and take off your mask, like, and do it with other guys, because they can kick your butt, they can talk, speak truth in a more real way, and that is the practice for a real relationship when God's preparing you for your wife. And so that's my advice. Build community now. Be real. Get your butt kicked. And do conflict. And do it well. And learn to repair.
So good. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Yeah. Thanks, David. Roxanne?
Yeah. It's hard to pick just one. And I would say, aside from just prayer and putting God first, pride, like just not working on lowering your pride, not having pride, being humble. I just feel like pride has like a trickle effect, and it really affects so much, like your apologies, you wanting to, you know, do something for someone else and be a servant to your husband or wife. So working on that will really just help any relationship that you have in the future, and it will just make things easier for you when you're in that relationship.
Thanks, Roxanne. Yeah, Bemi set us up so well talking about family last week, that our heart posture matters when it comes to our family. Thanks, Roxanne. Gavin?
I'm going to steal a little bit from the great philosopher Ben Zion Perez. we were hanging out the other week, and he was talking to me about how love has its limits, and how a lot of times that limit is how much we love ourselves and how much we love God, and we have to love God, and we have to pour time into our relationship with Him and our own spiritual health before we can love our partner well. And I saw that affect my parents' relationship deeply, and I've seen that affect my relationship with my girlfriend as well. And our relationship is just so much more fruitful when, I mean, both of us, not just myself, but when I'm devoting my time to Jesus and prioritizing Him first, and prioritizing my spiritual life and my spiritual disciplines first, because that allows you to love your partner so much more and love them to the best of your ability.
Thanks, Gav. Uncle David's got one more thing to say.
So back to the question to Roxanne, there's a prayer, it's called the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity, the peace to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That prayer has helped me in so many circumstances. And last thing of the plug of therapy. There's no shame in going to therapy. Get help, get a Christian therapist, be known, and find those mentors. They will help you walk through those tough situations, give you practice. You can do role plays. It helps. And they help you start trusting others with yourself and hearing the truth of that.
So good. Thank you. Can we thank our panel for sharing their hearts and wisdom? We praise God for you.